This is WTJU Charlottesville, 91.1 FM and worldwide at WTJU.net. I'm Kelly Wilmer, and I am here interviewing Future Birds, two of the members.
Hey there, I'm Thomas.
I'm Carter.
All right, so which instruments do each of you play, Thomas?
I play guitar.
I play guitar as well. We both sing some of the songs.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that you all do, four of you all are vocalists in the band.
At times, there have been four of us who are vocalists. We're kind of rolling with a three vocalist setup right now. We've had some turnover at drums over the years. Mm-hmm. So, live, we're a three-part vocal now.
Nice. So, I know you all come from Athens, Georgia, which is considered to be like a college town. And while doing research on your band, I found out you all started playing together when you were 18? So, did you all meet at the University of Georgia? How did Future Birds come to be?
Yeah, well, Thomas and B-Miles, he's here too. We all actually met working at the studio Chase Park Transduction, which mm-hmm. is David Barbie's studio. So we were all interns there, upstanding interns, always there early,
yeah.
Always leaving late. So we started playing music together and a few other friends who we just knew from hanging out around town, and we kind of we started a lot of bands at once, where mm-hmm. each person kind of had their own band, but it was all the same cast of people. So, so I feel like that's a pretty standard college band, genesis there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think we were probably about 21 when that happened.
Oh, okay.
Carter originally started playing, our original pedal steel player and Carter went to high school together.
Mm-hmm.
So the two of them started playing really early, but the rest of us kind of met probably in our 19, 20, and then mm-hmm. eventually started playing together around 21 or so.
Nice. All right, so this is Future Birds' 10th anniversary tour, and it really means something for a band to be able to stick together that long. So what is it about the dynamic of the band that allows you to work so well together for so long and not let creative differences or any other differences get in the way?
Well, I mean, I don't know if we've worked so well together all 10 years and there haven't been creative differences, but, you work through all those things,
right.
and we have enough of a shared vision. The grand vision is shared, even if, the details of it kind of differ, but that's sort of where we found that,
mm-hmm.
We get the whatever it is that people really enjoy about the band is that it kind of isn't one thing. It's sort of a lot of things all
mm-hmm.
just kind of splattered together on the page. So, you kind of learn to get through some of that stuff by letting it go, and you let that person do their thing, and my thing, and we'll do it together, and
yeah.
One big happy family.
Yeah. I think also the core of what we've done over the years and the bedrock of Future Birds is mm-hmm. our touring.
Mm-hmm.
And we've played so much. It's when there are differences or people are disagreeing or have, artistic, different artistic directions. It's all I feel like there's a mutual respect and just a togetherness that we've built mm-hmm. just from going through so many of the same things on the road, where it's we have this group struggle, or it's not really a struggle, it's awesome, but this group experience, should I say. So that's kind of and through that you also learn so much about each other that you kind of know when to give people space, like Carter was saying,
mm-hmm.
knowing even if you don't necessarily see the vision, you kind of let mm-hmm. them chase it and see where it goes, and if it ends up being something that's great for the band, then you roll with it. Yeah, just not having preconceived notions too about what is the band, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to fit into anything. It can be everything.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And what do you think you gain from being a band rather than being five separate solo artists?
You get a lot of outside perspective, if you're kind of chasing something that you think might be cool, but you're not really sure. You kind of can bounce it off everyone else, and you can really tell when people just aren't into something that you're doing, you know. So it kind of works as a good creative sounding board. And go ahead.
Yeah, I think it also just it keeps any one person from becoming egotistical or getting too full of themselves, because it's kind of like, you know, if you start feeling like that, then somebody's gonna be like, hey man, this isn't your thing, this is our thing. You know, this is not something that you're doing on your own, it's not something you've built on your own, and it's not something that you get to dictate the direction of on your own.
Right.
You know, we all, it's a shared vision, and it's a group mentality, and that's awesome, and we love that. But it's, I think that's one thing that being in a group opposed to a solo artist, where you make all, and we have a lot of friends that are in groups that are actually more like, so there's one guy who leads the band, you know, there's one person or one girl who leads the band, and it's like, that is a different dynamic. It's easier to get along with each other when you know that your opinion matters.
Right.
You know, whereas like if you're playing in somebody's band and they're the front man or front person, and you know, they tell you to do something and you have to do it, well, that sucks.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it's kind of nice to have free will in that way.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
One other thing I'd say on that thing is, as well, is too, you know, if you're making a record as a solo act, you need 12 songs.
Right.
Whereas we all have, you know, 12 songs we'll bring to the table, and we'll pick the 3 or 4 best that everyone has. So I feel like you get a stronger showing overall when it's a team effort like that.
Yeah. So I read your blog post about Portico One, that album, and well, EP, and then it was followed by another EP, Portico Two. And it sounds like that you all just had a really like intense or just great experience working on songs at the Portico, which was a repurposed Baptist church. Would you all mind telling a little bit about your experience with the EPs there? You don't have to go into too much detail, but just, you know, for some of people listening who may not have read the blog post.
Yeah, it's just this really cool old church, turn of the century Baptist church, and this guy Lee Moody repurposed the whole thing, and it's this beautiful, awesome sounding space. It's on the river. It's just like a really inspiring place. It's a place where you can kind of work at your own pace, and just being out there in general is so nice and inspiring, and just it feels so good to be out there. You can't help but produce something awesome from it. At least that's how we felt, and it's definitely a change of pace from your more traditional studio setup, where you know you're in a sound controlled room, and you know you have all this super nice gear, and there's everything's so controlled. It kind of forces you to kind of let all that stuff go and just kind of focus on what you're doing, which is trying to create something really cool.
So it was also a studio, because it was saying like online that it was like a venue, and then I also read that there were like beds set up there for you all. So did you like stay there? Did you live there? Like
so there's like a 100-year-old library attached to the side of it, and it's got several rooms in it. And I guess they used to be like Sunday school rooms or something. You know, it's like the main portion of the church that's got, you know, that's got 25 foot ceilings in it. It has this little other corridor off of it that's got these rooms and this crazy old library that's got all these really weird books in it, and it's got a kitchen. And yeah, we all just stayed there, and he had like 12 boats. It had river access. We'd get off on the boats and just go like up and down the river, go jump off rocks and just do it, you know, kind of change of pace. But yeah, he has parties out there, he has weddings out there. He's really kind of honed it in, but it's still got a special vibe to it.
Yeah. You are known for like having a very distinct sound that's a lot of people describe as psychedelic country rock, because of like, you know, the somewhat country elements with the banjos, mandolin, and then yet combined with the reverb and pedal guitars, so it's kind of like a more shoegaze dream pop meets country rock. And those are two completely different genres. So How did you all come about creating that and curating that to be your sound?
Well, it's mostly just by accident, just happenstance. I think all of us are all the original band members are from the South. We're all from Georgia, so we grew up with a lot of that country stuff and grew up, you know, listening to the early country rock, you know, whether it be the Byrds or Gram Parsons or or Lynyrd Skynyrd or Allman Brothers or all that stuff, you know, and and so we have that, and then as we matured and kind of started listening to what we want to listen to, we were listening to a lot of that 90s dream pop and shoegaze and stuff that our older brothers and sisters were listening to. And so I think it's just kind of the only thing that was going to come out of us. It's just the way the way it is.
Yeah, that's just how it happened. There wasn't any really a curation involved. You know, we're kind of writing simpler three-chord songs, maybe more so to do with our talent and ability rather than stylistic choice. And like, all right, we'll start turning those knobs on that pedal. Turn it out. See that? It's like, oh, cool.
What's it like to open for bands like Widespread Panic that are, like, you know, pretty big from your area and that some of your, you know, members of the band have been like fans for a while? What's it like to open for bands like that now, working with them?
It's always really, really special. But like, take we got to open for Band of Horses for New Year's Eve last year, this past New Year's, for two nights in a row. And it was like amazing, just a huge, big old theater just full of people, and everyone's really excited to be there, and a bunch of people don't know the band, so you're getting to play for them for the first time, and it's just like a really strong vibe. But specifically playing for Widespread Panic, opening up for them, and don't get me wrong, I grew up being a huge Widespread Panic fan, and they're like some of the nicest people and have been really good to us through the years. But they have a huge lot scene that you have to compete with, so so by the time you're starting, there are not that many people there because everyone's partying in the lot, and the first notes they drop, you know, a rush of people through the gates. But even still, just like, you know, stand up on this amphitheater stage, you know, where we grew up going to see shows in high school and stuff, is it's pretty surreal.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, you're playing a song, you like hit a chord, and you're like, oh, or you hit a note, you're like, oh, that's cool, and you like look to your right, and Dave Schools and John Bell are just like sitting there like smiling, like, oh shit, I forgot what I was doing, I can't, like, I don't know how to play guitar anymore. It's kind of crazy that they're, you know, those guys specifically are, you know, some of the dudes in the band are fans of our band too, which has been really special. But just, you know, it's kind of, it's nerve-wracking in a way, and but it's also kind of cool to play for those bands and kind of up the ante a little bit. Just come in, we'll play like a 30-45 minute show and just like play a banger where we just crush it, and we play these, you know, we rip the stage, and it's like, all right guys, your turn now, you know. But they never disappoint, but but it is kind of like a challenge for us to kind of you know, push that band as well.
Right. And so what have you all learned, like, in these past 10 years of playing together that you didn't know when you first started out?
Oh, God.
Who wants to?
You can do the same thing for a long time without making much money.
Always have lots of extra socks.
One more thing I could ask is, what are your plans for your next studio album?
Well, it's essentially in the can. We have to get it mastered, and then we're gonna release it next year at some point, hopefully in the spring.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
Spring.
I don't know.
No, that's we're really excited about the new record, and we've been just now like really geared up some of these new songs live, and they're really fun to play, and it's fun to kind of breathe new life into the live set and everything. So. Yeah, we think it's our best work yet. We can't wait for everyone to hear it.
All right. Yeah, well, thank you guys so much again.
Thank you.